Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In the 8th episode of our series, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford introduces extracts from the collection on one of university's most loved places, the Warwick Arts Centre.
In 1970, just 5 years after Warwick opened, the university commissioned the building of an arts centre on campus. Together with an anonymous local benefactor, the university hoped that an arts centre would provide the local people of Coventry and Warwickshire with a leading arts resource on their doorstep. The benefactor provided £400,000 for the development and encouraged other bodies, including the Arts Council, to support the project. John Leafield, chairman of the Arts Centre Advisory Board, describes the role of the university's first Vice-Chancellor in setting up the Arts Centre.
Going back to Jack Butterworth, Jack was innovative, and when he did his tour of the States, before he came to all the decisions on setting up Warwick University, he went to one university that had an arts centre, and he thought to himself, Warwick should have one of those. Funding arts centres is very difficult, whatever the nature of them, but he always agreed that the university would put some money into it on a running basis, and it does. But we also have to attract funding from other sources. You know, there was an anonymous donor who helped us create it in the beginning. It was anonymous for many years, and now we know her name was Helen Martin, hence the Helen Martin Studio.
The first phase of the building opened in 1974. The opening ceremony in the October of that year was attended by playwright Eugene Ionesco, actress Dame Margaret Ashcroft, West Side Story composer Leonard Bernstein, and leading British composer Sir Michael Tippett. Development continued, with the Butterworth Hall opening in 1981 and the Mead Gallery in 1986, with further developments in 2009. Colin Brummett, finance officer between 1977 and 1993, discusses funding the building of the Arts Centre.
We started building the thing, and the acoustic expert died, I think, and they had to change him. And they decided that it needed to go up another 3 feet or something. And 3 feet on the building costing quite a lot of money. Had to start finding money for something like that. But those things happen, you know. And so, yeah, we built the Butterworth Hall that opened in 81. And then, oh, it must have been 3 or 4 years after that, the cinema was built.
John Gore, now Director of Programming at the Arts Centre, describes arriving at the university as a prospective undergraduate student in the early 1970s and stumbling across the Arts Centre.
I wandered across the campus and came across, you know, there was building work everywhere. There was mud everywhere. But there was this kind of monolithic creation growing right in the heart of campus, which was purportedly to be a theatre, and was due to open later that year. I thought that was really rather interesting as well. Now, goodness, I'm not a foreigner to theatre. I like the idea of this, and that they would do concerts in there as well. Well, my mind was made up.
From very early days, the Arts Centre has staged an ambitious and far-reaching range of performances, films, visual art, education and cultural activities. Alan Rivett, the current director of the Arts Centre, describes what first attracted him to it.
I mean, I've always thought from the very early days, you know, that there was more to the arts than just theatre. The visual arts and music, yes, and film and dance and everything else. The all-under-one-roof service, cultural service that serves a community, I think is, I've always thought it's really interesting.
Music, too, had a special place in the Arts Centre and on campus more generally. The Music Centre itself opened in 1969 on the East Site, now Gibbet Hill, and moved to the Arts Centre during the 1970s. Joyce Beasley, Music Secretary between 1972 and 1996, describes the work that went into staging one particular opera in the early days of the Music Centre.
It was going to be an L3, and it would be semi-staged. And I was asked to get hold of some... I had to get hold of a flock of doves so they could be released at the moment of rejoicing in L3. So I was on the phone all day, every day, for a couple of days. I finally got it down to two pigeons from a pet shop somewhere on the edge of Birmingham. But if it was within a certain date, they wouldn't be available because VAT was about to happen and they had some elephants coming over, and it would mean everybody would have to go. They would need all the hands they could get to help them with these elephants. And so we settled for a pair of pigeons in the end.
Today, the Arts Centre is one of the largest performing and visual arts complexes in the UK outside of London, and is supported by a dedicated team of Arts Centre employees and volunteers. It continues to be a special place for many staff, students and local residents. Vicky Bourne describes its impact in the 1980s.
There were lots of kind of alternative films and French films and films, foreign language films. There were lots of dance companies, things that I'd never really seen before. I'd never been particularly interested in it, but it was so cheap. You could go and experience everything and get a real taster of things. And there'd be lots of touring companies. I remember seeing Anyone for Dennis, the height of the Thatcher era. It was great.
In the next Voices of the University podcast, we shall hear more about teaching and learning at Warwick. For further details or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.